Well, today we're going to continue our study in helping us to understand how to walk and work with the Lord. To walk and work with the Lord. There were several people in the Bible that the scripture said that they walked with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Noah walked with the Lord. Enoch walked with the Lord. And we understand that God's ways are higher than our ways, mm-hmm. right? The scripture is really plain that his ways are higher than our ways. But for a believer, someone that's been placed into Christ has access to the counsel of God. That distinguishes us from the rest of the population. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the one who holds all power and authority and knows all things, and who lives inside of his believing church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Is that just an amazing truth that says you have access to divine counsel, which no man can exceed? All the study in the world cannot go above the counsel of God. Amen. The counsel of God. So let me say that in these last days, it's critical that the church, the believing community, not choose our own way. When I'm speaking in regards to day-to-day decisions. Now, some of the principles that we must hold fast to is that we must be faithful to pray. Because without prayer, you're winging it. You must check in with God. So be steadfast in prayer is a principle that you must hold fast to. That is directly commanded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 15, 16, and 17. Right? It says, in everything that we must give thanks, right? And that we must pray without ceasing. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So prayer is a foundation. Now, I've talked about prayer a lot over the years, and one thing I've learned is that I think it's personally critical. I think it's personally critical for us to have an appointment with God. Recently, I covered for a pastor who had a surgery. He called me at the last minute and said that he had a no-show. The pastor was supposed to come. Asked me if I could cover. So I ran over there and covered his first service. And I asked the people, you know, do you have an appointment with God on a regular basis? And I held up my smartphone, which most of the people in the crowd had a phone. But either it's a written calendar, a reminder, a smartphone. I want to encourage you. Give God some of your 168. Amen. Give God some of your 168. Because what will happen is if you put him first, you can expect him to respond to your earnest preference. This is the basis of all receiving all counsel from God, is that Christ must be supreme. The supremacy of Christ in your life must be immutable, meaning it cannot change. Everything else has got to come under him. Amen. Because if anything is randomly above him, then he's not supreme. And the way that you can evaluate that earnestly, privately, is to look in your 168-hour window, time frame, that you get in the 24/7 week, and see, where is God on that calendar? Is he there? And if he's not, we have got to change that, and right now. Because let me tell you something. There is coming a storm that's going to shake everything that you know. All the things that we have counted on in America are going to begin to tremble. And one thing that we must remain faithful to is being in Christ in practice. We are in him, through the baptism of the Spirit. In other words, you've been placed into Christ by one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen? Amen. And we have been placed into Christ by one Spirit. That's an unchangeable truth about your spiritual condition. But living that out in a day-to-day life, you know, sometimes we get off track and we get casual about spiritual discipline. Let me encourage you as much as I can without harping that please be honest with yourself and say, have a discussion with your heart and say, is there evidence? I know I say I'm following, but is there evidence in my calendar that says I am putting him first and discussions with him are a primary function? In other words, talk to the Lord about all things. What that does for you is it ensures that you're checking in with the one who owns you and who has authority over your body. You have to understand that your body is no longer yours if you are in fact indeed in Christ, and that to misuse or not use the temple of the Lord in a right way or a faithful way is a great offense against the King of Kings. Now, he wants us to stay steadfast in prayer. I'll stop there. Now, the scripture talks that his ways are higher than ours, but there is some counsel from the word that we can glean from the scripture that will ensure us that we are staying on the straight and narrow path. And the concept here is that God's word is a lamp unto your feet. It shines God's light in darkness, and that God's word gives your heart light. Thus, your mind is filled with thoughts that are from his counsel. Now, see, everything else comes from outside in. But God is spirit, and his spirit is in you. And you and he, through the Holy Spirit, can commune without outside in. In other words, communication from the Holy Spirit from within. It's learning from God by the Spirit. Now, that's the reason he teaches us to accept his word, to hide his word in your heart, so that you might not sin against him. Right? So as you continually put the word in there and the Holy Spirit ministers to you, one of the works of the Spirit is that he brings the word of God, which is a lamp to your feet and brings light to your heart, which sources your mind, changes your thoughts, changes your ways. Remember, I said over and over, I kept hearing in the scripture and seeing it in the scripture, the way, the way, the way, the way. Let me announce just a few of them to you. Obviously, the most famous statement in all the Bible probably is that Jesus said, I am the way, capital T, capital W, I am the way. So he, for us, is the only way. Amen. Right? So all things must filter down from him. Great mistake in some circles is people value the word and the study of the word more than they value communion directly with the King of Kings. Nothing is above the person of God, not even his word. Okay? So you can study yourself blue in the face, but you've got to be checking in with the one who wrote the Bible. Okay? That's so critical to never lose intimacy, if you will, not in an erotic way. I'm not speaking of erotic arousal when I say of intimacy. Probably the better word would be integrity. The oneness with God. And communion with God via prayer. So, he has to be first and foremost. All counsel must come from him first. And then he illuminates his word to your heart. But his spirit can commune with your spirit via the Holy Spirit, that you get real-time divine counsel without human intervention. That's why in all ways, in everything, go to God in prayer first. Amen. Then to the Word. And then, if necessary, take the multitude of counsel from those that are wise, from those that have proven to be faithful, that have evidence in their life that they're trustworthy, and who have authority in the kingdom, and who are proven good stewards. Taking counsel from anything less is not prudent. The Bible says the wisdom of the prudent is that they give thought to their ways. They give thought, much thought, to their ways. In other words, making split-second decisions are sometimes necessary. But if at all possible, give much thought to your way. And so we can learn from His ways. It is acceptable. Even though they are higher, if He gives it to you, you got it from Him. Amen. You didn't find it on your own way. It's coming through a direct request from you. Him being the exclusive source without human contribution. Principle number one. All counsel must be sought from Him first. Then His Word. And if necessary, through the multitude of counsel of the faithful. Here's some examples of some of the things I gleaned as I was studying the phrase, the way. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 19 says, the way of the greedy. The way of the greedy. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 31. God pointed out that people were choosing their own way. Proverbs 2:8. It's called the way of the saints. The way of the saints. Proverbs 2:12. The way of the evil. The way of the evil. Proverbs 2:13, the way of darkness. Proverbs 2:20, the way of goodness. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked. Proverbs 4:28, your way. Proverbs 6:23, God called it the way of life. The way of life. Proverbs 4:11, the way of wisdom. The way of wisdom. Proverbs 9:6, the way of understanding. Proverbs 11:5, the correct way. Proverbs 12:26, the careful way. Proverbs 12:28, the way of righteousness. Proverbs 13:5, the way of the unfaithful. Proverbs 15:9, the way of the wicked again. Proverbs 15:19, so prominent in America, the way of the lazy man. Proverbs 15:19, the way of the lazy man. And also in that same passage, it talks about the way of the upright. Proverbs 22:5 says, the way of the perverse. The way of the perverse. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 8, it says, the way of peace. If you read in the New Testament, there was a note there that said, when you go into a city, find a man of peace. And if you carry the gospel, right? The gospel. It brings peace to the soul, does it not? Salvation and forgiveness of sin brings true peace to a man's life, to his heart, to his soul, to his spirit. Peace with God, saints. No man can give it, and no man can take it from you. The righteousness, the gift of righteousness, peace with God, is in fact one of the most profound gifts in the whole, all of Scripture. It's so important that we understand that how you process information, take advantage of opportunity, weigh risks, choose prayer, faith, and trust always over fear and discouragement. See, there's many ways to go, but for a believer, you must not count the men in the army. You must count the power of the God of the army.
Amen.
Because God has resources that you cannot see.
Right.
He has power that no man can measure.
Amen.
He has authority that rules and overrules every authority on earth. His power is supernatural.
Amen.
Meaning above the natural laws.
Yes.
And God does as he pleases. He takes counsel from no man.
Amen.
His knowledge is complete. Complete. As I mentioned to you, God's word gives us and provides and operates as a lamp to show his children the path in which we have opportunities to take. See, it's the volition of the will. We're free to exercise it. But if you remember, the book of Proverbs says, the prudent man gives thought to his ways. The scripture teaches us in Proverbs chapter 2 that we are to accept the word of God. To accept it. And that we also are commanded to always choose the firm and peaceful path. Always choose the firm, not a sandy way, a firm way. Always choose the firm and peaceful path.
Amen.
These sound principles will ensure that you'll stay on the narrow way. That in that way, you will be continuing on the highway of holiness. See, by choosing the ways of the Lord and making sure that you're thoughtful before acting, it allows you to remain on the highway of holiness. See, there's been a gift of righteousness with God. You have an endowment of the blessed Holy Spirit. So if the righteous characters of Christ are emanating from you, you're going to carry his fragrance. You're going to carry his countenance. You're going to carry his word. You're going to be a carrier of his wisdom. And in that way, Christ is revealed to people in darkness. It's not just for your sake, not just for your benefit, not just for the fruits that this kind of life will bear into your life, into your children's children. No, it's for the greater good of the holy kingdom of God. See, God is blessed. He's praised when his church walks uprightly.
Amen.
So, what I'm about to read to you, beginning in Psalms chapter 119, in verse 97, all the way, I'm in Psalms 119, beginning in verse 97, and with the Lord's help, we'll carry on to verse 120. Now, in this passage, you'll see many verses that point to what I've just expounded on, is that God's word is a lamp that shows the way, his way, in times of darkness, that God's word gives light to the heart and brings and creates thoughts that are pure, that are holy, that are in cooperation with the divine plan of the Almighty for you.
Amen.
See, it's we all have the privilege of the volition of our own will. And the Lord, he will allow you to make bad decisions. He will. Unfortunately, sometimes the consequence goes on a lifetime. Let us read. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray now, Lord, that you would unpack, unveil, provide revelation, grant understanding of this passage of Scripture in Psalms 119, beginning verse 97 all the way up to 120. Please teach us, Abba, so that we could leave here enriched in every way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Teach, Holy Spirit, we pray. It says, Oh, how I love your law. Let me share with you one time I was visiting minister on a television broadcast called Praise the Lord. And the host was a local pastor. He's well known in this land. And he said, Brother Scott, you just got back from India. Tell me what you're excited about. I looked him straight in the eye. I said, I'm excited about the law of the Lord. His precepts give me joy in my heart. He broke out in an unrestrained, uncontrolled, absolute, hilarious laughter. He laughed at me on regional television. He looked at me and he said, Brother, I don't know anybody that's excited about the law of the Lord. I thought, I'm sorry for you. Because you're looking but someone right in the eye that is excited about God's law.
Amen.
Me. And I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
Let's read this, okay? It says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. There's a pattern here. See if you can catch it. There's a pattern. Did you hear what he just said? It is my meditation. The wisdom of the prudent is they give thought to their ways. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than mine enemies.
Thank you, Lord.
See, God's Spirit can make you wiser than the desires of your flesh.
Amen.
God's Spirit can make you understand the dangers of following your own way. If you desire that. See, God's Spirit can put your flesh in check if you desire that. It says in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients or the aged, because I keep your precepts. What does that word keep mean? It means that you give thought, meditate on these truths, and then you look in your life and you start taking an axe to things that are against what you just read. And you start digging and building where that's not there. In other words, you refuse to accept the unacceptable. It says in verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil that I might keep your word. Make no mistake about it. The evil path restrains the revelation of the righteousness of Christ in you. It restrains it. It shadows it. It foreshadows it. It says, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught. There it is. Do you see that? It says, for you have taught me. It didn't say a preacher taught. It didn't say some book taught, some conference taught. No, it came from the person of God. There's a point here. There's a pattern. It says in verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false what?
Way.
There it is. It's throughout the word. And 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am. See, right there, saints, 106 says that if you are double-minded, you shall receive nothing from the Lord. Nothing. We are in a time where you have got to be resolved about your relationship with Him. You've got to be resolved. Nothing can come above it. No man can take His time. No man. One of the most faithful missionaries I know told me, I will serve your ministry night and day, but you cannot have my time with my God. It spoke loudly to me. It says in 108, I pray the free will offerings of my mouth. O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand. Yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. I've inclined my ear to perform, there it is, application of precept, counsel, wisdom, law. There it is, application. Saints, let me look up here for a second. You can study it till you're blue in the face, but unless you're willing to make practical changes where necessary, as revealed, as convicted, then in fact, indeed, you're resisting the counsel of the Holy Spirit in a very real way. It says, I've inclined my ear to perform your statutes forever to the end, to the very end. There, verse. There it is. Look at that. Verse 113. Are you there with me? This is the word of God. Listen to what it says. I hate the double-minded. David. David said, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. Verse 115, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Amen. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Saints, let me teach you a principle about faith. Faith is tried, faith is tested, and faith requires lean in. Don't never back up from trouble. Lean into it. Like this. Lean in. In that way, you will see the miraculous help of God. With firm resolution, with the discipline of leaning in, facing your flesh. When your flesh is ruling your house, you've got to put it in check. Let me tell you something. If your feelings, if you're willing to reason whether or not it is sin to you. And this requires resolve. I will not tolerate this. Speaking to your flesh. Lean in. Lean in. At that moment that you lean in, you have activated resolve. You have activated faith. And faith pleases God. Amen. It says, uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up and I shall be safe. I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. Here it is, verse 20, 120. My flesh trembles for the fear of you. And I'm afraid of your judgments. Luke says, fear no man, but fear him who has the power to place you in hell. Amen. God is not to be tarried with. He killed a whole generation of the Israelites because they tested him. These are just a few principles that we can glean from the scripture that shows us that the fruit of the principles that I just expounded on, they will reward you. And as a result of you abiding in them, you will display the sweet fragrance of Christ. You will carry his unrestrained love. You will display his unmatched compassion. You will show the loving kindness of your great God, mercy after mercy. And the Bible promises that you will do great exploits in the name of Jesus. In that way, God is worshipped. Obedience by decision. Obedience by decision. I'm out of time, saints, but thanks for letting me share.